From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 370, Group Policy Pack with guest Jerry Moskowitz, recorded Thursday, May 15th, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. This is a special show. I'm here at TechEd in Houston, actually behind the digital wall in a special place. We've been doing Speaker Idle here at the digital wall, and I got a few minutes to take a break and found myself a Jeremy Moskowitz. Welcome back, Jeremy.
And I found you.
Yes. Well, you've been judging for me, too, and thanks so much for helping out.
I love Speaker Idle. You know, you get to see folks who are really putting it out there, trying a skill set that they may have had or been warming up to it, and giving it a shot.
Well, they're all experienced speakers. Like this last heat, this was heat three we just did. Those guys are all awesome.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. It's great. And that's, not everybody gets the opportunity to do a big time show like this.
Yeah.
And to stair step your way into it this way. I think it's pretty great. So I think you're doing a great job too.
Thanks very much. It's good fun. And we're going to have a new speaker at TechEd next year.
Nice.
Because of this.
Nice.
So I have not had you on the show, I think almost 2 years now.
2 years have gone by.
And I count on you for keeping me up to speed on group policy. Where have you been?
Where have I been? I've been in deep, deep quarantine creating new stuff.
You're making products.
Yeah. That's the thing. Remember last time we talked about Policy Pack?
Policy Pack. Yeah, of course.
And now, I've got more to share. So let's warm folks up.
Let's recap
and talk about what I did here first at TechEd.
Yep.
I talked to TechEd. I had an enormous crowd of 1,100. I wish it was 1,800. 1,100 people.
That's
still
a lot of people.
They turned people away and all that.
Totally full room.
It was a totally full room. It's the Ballroom B. In fact, if folks are listening here and they want to see that talk, I already got a tweet that says that the session's live and available on Channel 9. So if you Bing for
nice.
Moskowitz, Moskowitz TechEd 2014, you'll see my group policy tips, tricks, and troubleshooting notes from the field talk. And the slides at the very end have a tiny URL reference
mm-hmm.
that if they fill out a form, they get to sign up for my group policy tips and tricks, plus the free goodies that I gave away.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the free goodie is pretty cool. What I tried to talk about at TechEd this year was sort of the idea of don't blame group policy if it's not really to blame. That was the theory of the talk.
But what can people blame group policy for, really, other than taking away some privileges you think you should have?
Right, exactly. So group policy, I like to say, is the guy that the 85-pound weakling at the beach that gets sand kicked in his face from Charles Atlas, you know?
Oh, nice.
You know what I'm talking about from the old comic books?
Yeah.
So, and the reason why I say that is that anytime a computer's running slow,
yep.
someone's like, group policy is causing that problem.
I don't know.
It must be group
true.
Policy's fault. Well, I think
when they're
so
supposed
too.
To be blaming the antivirus program.
Oh, that's actually true.
Yeah.
So I went through in that talk and I described how things like bad drivers or logon scripts and I went through a huge variety pack of reasons why your computer is actually slow.
Right.
But it's probably not group policy's fault. So there's categories of stuff that is group policy related, but it's not group policy's fault. Things that are just not group policy's fault at all. And then finally, things that are actually group policy's fault.
There are a few.
Like by way of example, you could overuse, say, WMI filters. And WMI, to warm people up, is just a way to sort of say, deploy this GPO and make sure it applies when certain conditions are true. Okay, that's Windows Management Instrumentation. You're selecting to find out is a condition true or not.
So what kind of conditions are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, like I only want this whole GPO to fire off when I'm delivering to a Windows 7 machine.
Interesting, okay.
Or only deliver when I see this software package.
So you're validating from the WMI stream that this is a machine that is Win 7 or has a particular app installed.
That's right.
And then you'll deploy the GPO.
Correct.
Okay.
So the GPO doesn't fire off unless this condition is true.
Right.
Cool. Now, it's to use WMI is perfectly reasonable.
It's a very smart feature, too, because
yeah.
it means you're not going around applying policies that are relevant to the machine.
Exactly. But there's a cost. And by cost, we mean like there's a time usage in order to see if that's true or not.
Right.
Now, here's the thing about WMI filters. Some of them are quick and respond very fast, 30 milliseconds.
Right.
That's pretty fast. Some of them take a second or two
right.
or more. Or you can even do things like, and this is advanced and something like, does that machine exist across the wire? That is something you can actually do using WMI.
Interesting.
Yeah. And well, that would take a really long time.
Right. So you're asking that client machine to see if it can see another machine.
Right, right.
And if it can, then you'd apply a group policy to it.
Right.
Okay.
So,
and so now you're dependent on somebody else's network. I mean, that's not group policy's fault
exactly.
per se.
Exactly. So, right. So that is the general gist of the talk.
Okay.
And
cool.
At the end of the talk, or during the talk, I also demonstrated in real time, I did what called it speed tests live. So speed test live, I had domain controller, and then on the left side of the screen, I had Windows 7,
right.
And on the right side of the screen, I had Windows 8.
Okay.
And I went through in excruciating detail to describe some of the new changes that Windows 8.1 brings to the table to make group policy try to work faster whenever it's possible. And then my joke, which I'll blow here, why not, is I gave Windows 7 a 1 second head start because I had to click one first. So I like to say age before beauty.
Nice.
So Windows 7 got a 1 second head start. But the point is that under most circumstances, they react very similarly.
Right.
However, there's one special case that people should know about where Windows 8 blows the doors off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is a big change that happened between Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 is that a very commonly used item called Group Policy Preferences Drive Maps, so the thing that maps your X drive to the blah-blah-blah share, it, whenever it was used in Windows 7, would make the entirety of group policy processing forced synchronously, which means that it has to go in order while you're waiting for it to finish.
Right.
When normally what will happen, if you don't have any things that require that, is that you log on and then group policy magically just applies in the background. But a lot of people use group policy preferences drive maps.
Right.
So the group policy team got it together and they tweaked it and now have made that particular moving part, the group policy preference drive maps guy, also run in the background.
Hmm.
So what you'll see is that if you are a big fan and use group policy preferences drive maps, you get faster results. Always, always, always on a Windows 8.1 machine, where on Windows 7, you're now bogged down because it requires you to kind of wait for group policy to finish.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's
new.
And
you want that stuff to be asynchronously applied. There's no reason to wait for it.
Well, there is. Okay. I brought this up. I'm really glad you brought it up too. It's good because that means you're thinking about the same things that other people
are. What are the consequences of this?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. There's a pro and a con. So let's work it out. Let's assume there was a magic switch that would force synchronization always on.
Okay.
And there is. So let's say you had that magical switch and you turned it on. There's an advantage for that. The advantage is that when you log on, you're guaranteeing that all of your group policy stuff is applying.
Right.
By the time the user logs on. The downside is that they are forced to wait for the group policy to finish before they log on.
Mm-hmm.
So you gain consistency and lose speed.
Right.
You with me so far?
Yeah. Well, you make the user wait.
You have to make the user wait, but you gain consistency.
Yes.
Now, let's flip it around. Let's say you leave it in its default behavior, which is to, whenever it can, run asynchronously.
Okay.
Well, now you're flipping the coin over. You gain speed,
yep.
But now you lose consistency.
Yes.
In fact, everybody who's listening, if you're a group policy geek, or you've even done this before, I know you've probably had this experience, which is something like you set a GPO, you go to the target machine, you log on, you're like, darn, it's not there. You log off and log immediately back on. Boom, there it is. That's because group policy by default runs asynchronously.
Right.
So you're like, oh, wait a second. So then you go to another machine and it's there, a third machine, it's not there. You log off, you log back on, it's there. You lose consistency, but gain speed.
Right.
So is there a unified kind of advice around this? I hear you cry.
Mm-hmm.
And there is.
Oh, really?
Yes. So my new, and I've come around on this. It's taken me a little while. You know, things change. You know, we're a different world, right?
Yep.
There are lots and lots of devices that are LAN connected. And there's also sort of guys that are, you know, off the wire and, you know, on and off the wire quite a bit, right?
Right.
So the ones that are on the wire all the time, fast connectivity, I say go back and force them to be synchronous.
Oh, okay.
Really, in my demo, I showed 100 GPOs being downloaded. In my super duper crazy fast test lab, it took 4 seconds.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and boot times are so fast now. Like, you're not waiting for anything else. So
it's SSD.
Made the magic difference.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So if you're using, if you're on the LAN, I recommend to turn asynchronous
off
to make it synchronous.
Right.
But if you've got these kind of nouveau half on, half off, roaming kind of guys.
The tablet machines and, you know,
and they're making contact back to your world, then I think asynchronous is best.
Right.
Because in that way, you lose a little consistency, but you gain in speed. And so that's the
trade-off. Well, because if they were synchronous, the delay could be substantial.
And that's correct. So, yeah. So if you're on the land, you don't have to, you really, that penalty and the chances of that are kind of on the low side.
Are there particular policies you find that are the longest ones, like that you're going to pay for that, or is that always a WMI issue? No,
that's a good question. You're right. I mean, at the end of the day, group policy, the engine, will just do what you tell it to do.
Yes.
So
if you tell it to do something dumb, it will do something dumb for
like,
you.
Like copy a file every single time from like a big movie file from the server to the client.
Every time the guy logs in.
Right. Now, it won't do that by default, but you could tell it to do that.
Yes.
Okay, so so that's the kind of extreme case, a 500 meg video file.
It's your foot.
That's it, exactly. So if you're going to blame group policy, like I like to say, it's blame the message, not the messenger.
Nice, okay.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and group policy is just a messenger.
Group policy, don't shoot the messenger, man.
Right, except for the few of these WMI things where you depend on
just. I mean, there are a handful of others, and that's what the talk's all about. And I think if somebody, like if our listeners here have ever gotten the memo, fix the computers, man, because everything's running super slow. Then let's get some real data around it. So check out the talk.
I think that's an important part of this, right? Is like, don't go on just feel. I appreciate when people say it feels slow.
Yes.
But my reaction to that, and I'm a website tuner, right? So it's like, site seems slow. All right, let's snap some instrumentation around it and see what's going on.
That's it. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So that was my talk here at TechEd. At the end of that talk, there's a little freebie that I gave away, which is at the end of the slides, there's a tiny URL, and you're welcome to download it, dear listener, which is a way to quickly generate group policy objects and link them to a place so you can do your own speed tests.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's a free.
So this is a tool?
Yeah, it's a freebie. Just a free PowerShell tool I had created for this talk.
Okay.
And there's a little video that accompanies it so you don't blow your foot off.
Nice.
And it's free, just free because so I
want to. tinyurl.com/.
I'm not going to tell them. They have to go to the whole talk.
So go on to channel 9 and go watch the talk. And at the end, you can get access to the tool.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they could jump to the end, but it doesn't. I would prefer that you watch the talk because at that point, you'll know why the tool exists.
Well, plus you demonstrate the tool in that video.
The tool, yes.
So actually see how it's used correctly.
That's correct.
So bring me up to speed on PolicyPack.
Sure.
Last time we talked, and that's a year and a half,
something like
2 years
that.
Ago. So tell us about PolicyPack first and then the latest.
Great, thanks. So let's warm them up first.
Sure.
Let's talk about what group policy can't do. I mean, I'm a big fan, obviously. Yep.
Group policy's your friend.
But it can't do everything. Group policy can't manage stuff that it can't manage.
Mm-hmm.
It can't manage Firefox. It can't manage Java. It can't manage Flash or OpenOffice or and on and on and on. There's just no way for group policy to dictate configuration data to these unusual applications. So what PolicyPack Application Manager does is we've got a giant set of pre-configured packs that enable administrators just like you to do things like deliver security settings to Java and lock it down so users can't work around it. We literally change the UI so user can't work around it and take control of that area of the file system or the registry if it's a registry-based app. So we now own it, and a user, naughty, naughty user, can't work around those settings to make it truly compliant.
You can just make Java stop asking for an update.
That's it.
Everybody be happy.
We do that. We get that call all the time. And that's exactly right. You want Java to stop asking for an update so then you can properly deploy your update when you are ready.
Right. Test it. Make sure it's right.
That's
and then roll out a change.
What's the alternative? The alternative is a user gets a pop-up. They don't have the credentials. They call the help desk. I'm being asked to update this stinking app again. And you look like a fool.
Right.
Instead, deliver the setting to the user that says, stop. Stop the madness.
Yep.
That goes away. Plus, you're making it more secure for all the things that needs more.
Well, and consistent too. Everybody's running the same version of Java.
Same version of Java. We don't deploy Java. We deploy Java settings.
Right.
Okay. And so now what we're saying is once the settings are the way you want them, you are ready to use your own software deployment tool, which of course you already have to roll out the next version
however
of Java.
However you want to do it.
So that's what PolicyPack Application Manager does today.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've got some new stuff.
Uh-oh. What have you been up to?
Okay. So, gosh, if only, you know, again, as a big group policy fan, one of the things that I think has been sort of a challenge is the idea is that, well, what if you have users that are roaming and not on the network right now?
Yep.
How would you get anything to them? Well, you could try to beg them to VPN in.
Yep.
You could try to get you could try to extend your network using various, like, kind of, the jury's still out how secure those network extendery guys are.
Yep.
But, you know, cloud is kind of a big deal.
Yes.
So we have PolicyPack Cloud. PolicyPack Cloud lets you take an existing PolicyPack Application Manager directive, like manage Firefox, manage Java, manage Flash, manage Internet Explorer, and so on. Upload those directives for configuration up to Policy Pack Cloud, and your target machines will download and apply the directive automatically. No group policy involved.
Oh, interesting. So as opposed to me going into my VPN, attaching to a domain, and using GPO to get those things,
correct,
which Policy Pack helps me configure.
Yep.
This is something I install on my client machine?
Yes. Yes, your client consumes a license from the Policy Pack Cloud,
right,
and downloads your directives. So just think, some security concern, like the just a couple of weeks ago, for the billionth time, the Department of Homeland Security said, you gotta stop doing this with Internet Explorer and Flash or the world comes to an end.
Right.
Well, all of our Policy Pack customers calmly walked over to their group policy editor, literally checked one checkbox, and went and got a soft drink or
done.
A coffee. Done. Okay. Now the problem is, what about all the people who are out in the field?
Right. How long before they get that
policy?
How
long before they get it? They got to come to the office or VPN in or some other thing.
Right.
So Policy Pack Cloud will say that directive is up in the cloud and ready to go. The target machine receives it on a schedule, downloads it, applies it. All of your machines, both on-premise and
circumventing the whole domain side of group policy.
You've got it. So that's the second thing this does. This lets you deliver group policy-like items using Policy Pack Application Manager to non-domain join machines.
Right. Well, and this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue now. We have all these heterogeneous clients, and a lot of them won't join domains.
Exactly. But wait, there's more.
Oh, nice.
So the other thing that we came up with is this idea called Policy Pack Preferences.
Okay.
I know it sounds like group policy preferences.
Yeah.
We don't replace them. It's a shot in the arm for something that already exists. You love group policy preferences. It already manages shortcuts. It already manages services. It already disables devices. It already does all these things you love and want to do.
Yeah.
But the problem is, by its very nature, group policy preferences has a couple of issues. Issue number one, if you don't want to use group policy to deliver it, you're kind of out of luck.
Right.
Thing number two is the name preferences sort of belies its problem. Let's say I deliver a shortcut icon on the desktop and then I throw it in the trash. Well, group policy preferences will not regenerate that unless he's actually on your network.
Right.
It's his name. It's a preference. He's working around it. So what we've done with Policy Pack Preferences is that not only have we decoupled the requirement to use group policy to deliver preferences, but we also maintain it and keep it offline.
Nice.
So the end-to-end scenario looks like this. You've got a group policy preference item that delivers shortcuts and drive maps and printers and services and so on.
Yep.
You can now use SCCM, Windows Intune, or your own systems management software or Policy Pack Cloud to deliver those group policy preference items to domain join machines and also not domain join machines.
It makes me wonder if domains are ultimately going to go away.
At the end of the day, we need some kind of authentication.
Yeah.
To something, to say that you're a good guy or you're an unknown entity.
We needed something that'll work across all these different kinds of devices. So what's the common denominator?
So, Windows Intune kind of does that already,
right,
but they don't do anything with regards to group policy. They don't do anything with regards to group policy preferences. So we've made that bridge. So Policy Pack Preferences becomes this bridge between, I have this wish I want to make in group policy preferences land, but I can't deliver it using group policy because I have these non-domain join machines.
Right.
What am I going to do?
But they all speak to Windows Intune.
That's it.
And so the authentication comes from Windows Intune.
Yep.
But then the Policy Pack tool actually goes off, grabs preferences.
Correct.
And
so you can, so basically the magic is you can deliver. It's Burger King, man. Have it your way.
Nice.
You want to deliver settings using group policy? Do it. SCCM? Do it. Windows Intune? Do it. Or Policy Pack Cloud? Do it.
Right.
Pick your delivery mechanism. And the result is either group policy preferences gets there or Policy Pack application manager settings like Firefox, Flash, and Java and so on get there. So it's one from column A, one from column B.
Nice. I mean, what happens when you get over to something like an iPad? What policies can you apply to it?
Well, with regards to Policy Pack, none, but here's where it still comes into play.
Okay.
Which is to say, most people on an iPad, what I see folks doing with it is, sure, they're playing Angry Birds.
Nice.
I get it. I get that. But they're also going back to the data center,
mm-hmm,
and using VDI to run, oh my gosh, wait for it, Windows apps.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, we're still running Windows apps, doing Windowsy things, presenting Windows apps through RDP, right? That's the, that's just the way.
The remote client.
The terminal services style stuff or Citrixy stuff.
Yeah.
And now VMware, by the way, is getting into that business too of presenting applications. They just announced that in their VMware Horizon update that they can present applications in their thing. So now you've got multiple ways to present applications, but gosh, wait for it. Hold on a second. What if a user goes to edit preferences and starts reducing the application security settings? Gosh, if only they had Policy Pack Application Manager on that terminal services / Citrix machine, then gosh, it would be automatically remediated and locked down. So a user on an iPad getting access to that remote application,
right.
What you want them to have from a security posture is actually delivered to their VDI session.
And then you're doing that at the VDI level. You're not doing it on the iPad at all.
That's right.
Okay.
So everything's back at the data center. And we're just using good old group policy to do it.
And you get to have the pleasure of trying to move a mouse cursor around with your finger on an iPad.
You know, there's some cool magic in that area, actually. Some of those vendors who make VDI solutions, who I just mentioned, they've actually done some pretty neat magic where it's like, when I run this thing, then this kind of big fat finger menu comes up. So they've made some strides in that
trying
area.
Trying to solve that particular problem.
That's not what we solve. We solve wrestling applications that have possible ways to set security on them,
right.
But there's no way to manage that. That's the problem we wrestle to the ground.
And back to the original point here. So you're not actually applying policies to an iPad.
Correct.
Yeah. You'll do it through VDI if they're bringing in apps that way.
Yeah. Our moving part runs on a real Windows box and only a real Windows box and not a Windows RT box.
Because even if you're not domain joined, Windows still has group policy.
They're waiting there, waiting for you to take some action. And that's where Policy Pack Cloud can say, upload your directives, even if you're not domain joined,
right.
We'll cheerfully accept those directives and make magic occur.
So, not that I mean to make this into an infomercial or anything, Jeremy, but I presume you sell this product.
Yes.
Or is there a free version people can try out?
There's a free trial. And the typical way we like to do trials, which I think sets people up for success,
right.
is I do a webinar several times a week. And when people can see it, ask questions, really see how it works and understand all the moving parts. And then immediately after, we contact you, give you a trial license, and bang on the bars all you want. It's all you can eat, full free trial. And then when you typically something on the order of 30 days. And then when you're ready to go, either you like it or you don't, and that's totally great.
Sure. And what is the cost?
Oh, well, we don't say that out loud. No, actually.
If you have to ask.
Then we have a variety. We have a variety of products, so it's kind of hard to describe.
Right.
But it is actually listed in reasonable detail on the website what the minimum purchase
is. Any license per seat
computer.
Right.
Yeah, so it's per computer.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or if it's a cloud license, it's a consumed license from the cloud. So you buy a pool and you consume licenses from the cloud.
That's nice.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach, and it just sort of speaks to this fact that group policy has been an intrinsic part of Windows for a long time. It's just always been coupled to domains, which was fine for a long time, but it's just not fine anymore.
At the end of the day, people want a result.
Yeah.
Right? They want to do something on the client, and now you can now pick the way you want to get the result done.
Right.
You can use the group policy that's in the box as the transport. That's great. You can now use Windows Intune with our stuff. You can now use SCCM with our stuff. Or if you don't have any of that and you want to use our lightweight cloud, you can use our lightweight cloud. It's you got to figure out what you want to do first, then figure out the method you want to do second. And that combination is what people are after.
Yeah, actually pokes away at it and does it one way or the other.
That's it.
But in the end, it's always group policy on the client. It's just your delivery mechanism can vary from machine to machine.
That's right. Yep.
So any particular, you got a favorite policy, set of policies these days? Anything new you've seen that you're like,
new,
I love this?
New. Yes. Okay. Yes. I got one. So, when you log on to Windows 8.1 the first time, there's that incredibly long and detailed animation, which shows you point and you want to kill yourself because it takes so long. There is a setting that's something on the order of, prevent animation, first time animation from running.
Right.
And if you set that to the proper configuration, the computer side gets it, which is great. Then every user therefore doesn't get it.
Doesn't have to deal with it.
Yes.
What about the edge arrows? You know,
yeah, that's
pop up.
I think the edge arrows are still there, but at least that long and just drawn out.
Hey, let us tell y'all about Windows 8. You're going to love it. No, really.
No, and therefore you're logging onto every machine, like everybody who logs onto any machine the first time will get that.
Right. As soon as you change an account, you'll get it again.
Yeah, right. So you log on as Fred, and Fred sees it. Then you log off, and Mary on the same machine logs on.
She gets
it too.
She gets to watch it too.
Remember, it's just like an XP. Do you want to take a tour? Yeah. Do you want to take a tour?
We really want to take you on a tour.
I've been using XP for 97 years. I know how to take a tour.
Please stop.
I know
where I'm touring going. Us.
So that's funny. My new favorite one. Yeah. And then there's the perennial favorite, which is, and I demonstrated it in my talk here at TechEd, which is this idea of, it used to be called something like verbose versus normal status messages. And now it's got a new name called display highly detailed status messages. And I like this one. When group policy is applying, it actually tells you what is doing. What it's actually doing is applying group policy preferences shortcuts. It's applying group policy preferences drive maps.
Right.
And so if you're sitting there and you're looking at it and it says applying group policy preferences drive maps and it's taking 18 seconds, that might be where the hang up is.
Yeah, something's going on there. It's like a drive's not available or
some other networky nonsensey thing.
I had a really grumpy DFS implementation the other day and it took a long time to map drive letters to it.
DFS or DNS?
DFS.
DFS. Yeah, they both make me grumpy personally. So
yeah, it's true. Yeah, they can always cause problems. On the Win 8 side, is DC GPO still moving forward? It's really not to do with Windows so much as it has to do with Active Directory.
Look, man, at the end of the day, group policy is there's no plans to reduce the reliance in group policy on the client.
It's not going anywhere.
There's you could say that there's, quote, competition from other technologies. By way of example, SCCM lets you do some group policy-like things with regards to profiles.
Right.
Okay, that's a way to do the exact same registry setting. Okay?
In the end, did you use the GPO to set the registry setting, or did you do it through SCCM?
Or did you walk over to the machine and hand do it?
Yeah.
Or did you make a script to do it? Or did you go back to 1986 and use Kickstart? It's like, at the end of the day, you're achieving a goal. How are you achieving that goal? Okay. Then the other kind of new and up and coming thing is, it's called DSC, which is a PowerShell thing called Desired Configuration State.
Yeah.
And it's mostly meant, in this one guy's opinion, to compete with like Puppet or Chef, which is a way for you to automate configuration state for servers when you're bringing up 300 servers at a click because you got famous on Oprah last week. Okay. So now how do you all of a sudden bring up a giant gaggle of servers and make sure their configuration is?
Well, we used to do this in SCCM with templates and just apply it across multiple machines.
Right. Well, this is a PowerShell way to sort of guarantee that what you want is going to be delivered.
Right.
There. It's a server based thing. It's meant to be used probably mostly on Azure and definitely only supported specifically on servers.
Right. And is there a relationship between DSC and GPOs?
None.
Okay.
None. And that's the thing. Maybe in some future iteration of the planet, they'll be like, here's a DSC thing and I want to deliver it using GPO. And that's fine.
Right.
Group policy is a delivery mechanism. At the end of the day, you want to get it there and you want stuff to happen.
However you particularly want to deliver it.
Yep.
But it is interesting to see that the ball is still moving, right? Like there's still a lot of different ways to get these things done.
Yep. And I've with 1,100 people in the room yesterday, if that proves anything, is that people still use it, need data around it, and want to get smarter in it. And then hopefully with my stuff at GP Answers, folks can get more data, take a class, get the skills you need, because it's not going away anytime soon. And the smarter you get in it, the faster your machines are going to be, and the faster you're going to be to automate the desktop stuff.
Right.
Right. Well, of course, we're talking about automation and PowerShell and doing a lot of stuff to automate stuff. That's great. But when it comes to the client, group policy is definitely still king.
Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely the way to go. It has the most diversity. It's been around forever.
And it's still supported end-to-end. And product teams from Microsoft are still creating ways to manage their own stuff by way of group policy. So it's the way.
Have you played at all with WinRT as far as GPOs are concerned?
Yes, I have. I can talk to that a little bit. So WinRT...
you can't join a domain.
Correct.
But the GPO still exists.
So the admin templates, the stuff that is not group policy preferences exists.
Right.
So you could run GP edit by hand directly on a Windows RT machine.
Right.
And walk around to 40 of them and set up the don't show them whatever icon. Like that exists.
Yep.
That exists. There's no way to centrally manage that as near as I can tell.
Right. I mean, all those machines should be able to use Windows Intune. So if only there was a third-party product that worked through Intune.
That is not... if that were to exist, you would be the first for me to announce it upon. Unfortunately, there's no current way to drive group policy stuff directly to a Windows RT device.
Yeah, it's just because the way the RT device is locked down.
It's, you know, you can only buy things in the store.
Right.
And the things that you buy in the store can't talk to other things bought in the store.
Right.
And they can't talk to the operating system. Well, game over.
You're done.
That's it.
But it looks like that's going to evolve too. So hopefully we can, I mean, if I really want an RT device to live in my enterprise network as a serious device, it needs to play ball.
And right now, with regards to group policy, there is nothing. Windows Intune does a reasonable job of taking some existing standards, like, I think it's called Open, it's something like Open MDA. I'm sure I've got my acronym wrong, but it's something like Open Device Management, blah, blah, blah. And it's things that everybody has to support. Apple and Samsung and Microsoft, they all have to support like a baseline of things like password length and strength and lockout and so on.
Right.
And Microsoft can tweak those and twiddle those bits using Windows Intune, but they can't manage their own group policy-like stuff using Windows Intune.
All right. So we still have a ways to go. Well, Jeremy, any talks left to go? Or are you done at TechEd?
This is it for me. I did a one and done talk, which was good. It was a lot of work. I took a lot of moving parts. The group policy team was enormously helpful. And,
sounds like it packed the house though.
It was my happy place.
Yeah. It's a fun place.
It's my happy place in front of, I have this, there's a selfie that somebody, well, it's not quite a selfie. Somebody took a picture of me right in front of the crowd 30 seconds before we started.
Right.
And it was like, hi, Mom. This is what I do for a living.
I love it. Well, we'll make sure to include a link to that video in the show notes. And folks should take some time to have a listen to it. And Jeremy Moskowitz, thanks so much for coming on back on the show.
You're the man. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.